I want to tell you, like Bill Johnson would say, God's in a good mood. God's not suffering depression, anxiety, fear, or worry. Okay? God's not angry this morning.
Amen.
Two of you said amen. Some of you wonder, okay? I want to show you a verse, and this wasn't where I was going to start, but I'm going to start here. I'm going to go through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and us as far as goodness is concerned. Boy, I can see that wasn't a winner. That's excitement. James chapter 1, verse number 17. James chapter 1, verse number 17. And it says this. Say every with me.
Every.
Say good.
Good.
Say gift.
Gift.
Can't hear you.
Gift.
Still can't hear you.
Gift.
No, I want you to say every, not gift. Every good gift. How many heard that? Pray for his ears.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I'll pray for my ears. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I want you to understand and be reminded that God, our Father, is good.
Amen.
Now listen. He is so good that no evil comes from him.
That's right.
You say, oh. He's not living bipolar. He's not living with a personality issue or a mind issue. He does good.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
He's good. We are in a period of grace. That's undeserved or unmerited or unearned favor from a good God.
Amen.
Now people say, Pastor, you're going a little extreme here. The Father, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. It's kind of interesting. The Father of the Illuminaries is what that means in the Greek. And the Illuminaries are the sun, the moon, and the stars. Kirk, bail me out. Did somebody put out a video or said when God made the creation, the stars sang? So there was a time.
It's actually recorded. You can go on YouTube and find them out. There's harmonics that the stars are making. You can actually listen to them now.
So if you don't believe me, believe him. He's a professional.
It's on the internet.
So what do you think they were saying? Oh, woe is me. I'm just a star hanging out here. Huh? God just hung me out to dry. I don't think so. I think everything that God created praised him,
yeah,
honored him,
yeah,
glorified him.
Right.
Every good, and that word good means benevolent and profitable. So God is continually showing kindness for our benefits. And without variation, interesting word. It means there's no change and there's no alteration. So how many of you ever heard, God is good all the time?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God
So, if that is so, we can come to God as a good God.
Yes, amen.
We can come to God as a good God when things aren't going right. We can come to God as a good God when things fail. We can come to God as a good God when we blow it. I know none of you have, just me. And so, it's very interesting when you start going through this, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three align with goodness. I'm going to show you. First of all, turn with me to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Do you understand right now? And I didn't get it till right now. But every once in a while, this old mind begins to click in gear and things start coming. Look at me. You too, Kirk. You're not exempt from this. Do you realize that it's the goodness of God that led us to repentance this morning? Let me show you. Romans 2:4. Or do not despise the riches of his goodness. God has riches in his goodness. He's just pouring out. The riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Somebody should say amen.
Amen.
God is so good that he wants us to repent, to have a change of mind of what we think about him and what we think about our life without Christ.
That's right.
He wants us to come to a place that we recognize his goodness.
Yes.
It's amazing. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Because of his goodness. Ephesians 1:3. And I'm not trying to embellish God, because I'm way below what he is. Okay? I cannot comprehend the extreme goodness that he has and that he is. Ephesians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Look at me. Make a declaration. I am blessed. Let me hear it. Say it again.
I am blessed.
One more time.
I am blessed.
You're not the scum of the earth. You're not rejected. God isn't getting even with you for something. He has blessed you. God has not only blessed you, but he blessed you with every spiritual blessing that he can give. What does all mean? And so we come to this place that the goodness of God is reaching his people. Now, please listen to me. As we wrap this up, if you can't accept God is good because something that's happened in your life and some insurance company or somebody said it was an act of God, how about not redefining bad things in your life as an act of the devil? I don't believe for 1 minute God killed my parents. I don't believe it. And I'm not going to accept it. God didn't kill him, but he received him. The word good is being good, generous, big-hearted, liberal, and charitable. It's the goodness of God. The word goodness means that. Generous, big-hearted, liberal, charitable. How big of a heart would he have to have over 1 billion followers? We okay? What about Jesus Christ? You know, are there any verses in the Bible that talks about Jesus being good? We know he did a lot of good things, right? But how many good people do evil things? No. Good people do good things. Evil people do evil things. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. A bad tree can't bear good fruit. By the way, I'd like to see some of that fruit from your good trees. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. I have a purpose in all this. Someday you'll see it. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what?
Good.
Doing what?
Good.
Doing what?
Good.
And healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God, you might just change that, the Father was with him. Jesus was demonstrating the goodness of the Father and the goodness that he had in him as he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Can you imagine what it would be like if Jesus would have came as a tyrant? You don't come to me and I'll make you blind. You curse me and I'll put you in a casket. He didn't. Come to me and I'll make you see. Walk by me with a casket and I'll raise you from the dead. If you're crippled, I'll get you to walk. If you're demon oppressed, I'll break the power. Jesus was our perfect example of goodness. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we are so blessed to have Jesus. In fact, his Jesus was so good, he wanted the goodness to be continued, and he told his disciples to go do the same things I'm doing, and I want you to do greater things. I want you to continue to demonstrate my goodness to the people. If you were abused as a child, God didn't do that to you. If you were rejected and left alone, God didn't do that to you. If you had some bad experience growing up, it wasn't because of God. I want us to understand there's no blame game with God. Well, that Christian person did something to me. God didn't do it. Some person did it to you. And so our main problem is, and I was sitting with a man the other day, and I looked at him and I said, your church and God are not synonymous. They're not the same. What your church did and your church leaders did basically had nothing to do with God. God is good.
Amen.
And it's hard for us to separate sometimes between the leadership of a church or people in the church or Christians in the church or what we call hypocrites in the church. Let me tell you something, friends. I'd rather go to church with hypocrites than go to hell with them. It's not God's fault. Hello. Sorry if I get wound up. I'll calm down about Redfield. But we come to a place where we begin to comprehend the nature of God. And if we miss that, we spend our whole life wondering. It's like Gideon. Anybody remember Gideon? If God is so full of miracles, why am I hiding in this wine press? And why are the Midianites persecuting me? I'm going to tell you why, Gideon, because your people walked away from God. And so we accept all kinds of things as gospel, and most of the things we look at times are people who walked in rebellion, turned their back on God, and expected God just to bail them out. God's not in the bailout business. God's in the relationship business.
Amen.
Okay, that's an extra offering. So what about the Holy Spirit? Interesting. Well, if God the Father is good and God the Son is good, then the Holy Spirit has to be bad. It's always one out of three, you know. Anybody ever read Galatians? Anybody ever read Galatians 5, 22 and 23? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Amen.
Goodness! Say it.
Goodness.
Say the Holy Spirit is good.
The Holy Spirit is good.
Can't hear you.
The Holy Spirit is good.
He's good. He's amazing. How do I know that? Because he put up with me. He put up with me. It's totally, absolutely amazing how God works in us to demonstrate his goodness. So what about us? Very interesting. What about us? What were you designed for? You know, I'm a Ford guy. I'm sorry. I won't pick on you Chevy guys. I know, found on road dead. I understand that. Or shove it or leave it, whichever one you want. I mean, we can go all the ways or dodge around the potholes. But God had a special design for his people, and you don't hear people preaching on it. Ephesians 2:10. How many believe God is good?
Amen.
Okay. Ephesians 2:10. I want you to see this. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. That word workmanship, okay, you got to repeat this because you won't believe me. Say, I am a masterpiece
of God.
Okay? I'm a masterpiece of God. The word workmanship means masterpiece. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what?
Good works.
Interesting. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has designed you, equipped you, anointed you for good works. And you don't believe it. Man. Colossians 1:10. You don't believe that one? Believe this one. How many of you have ever heard good works? How many of you had a misconception of what it meant? Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay. I'm getting strained here. I'm going to sit down for a while. Fall off my chair. Stephen's here to catch me. Okay, look at me. When he designed you for good works, it was because you were saved. It's not that he designed you to do good works to bring about your salvation. He designed you to demonstrate your salvation to others by your good works. You're not earning salvation. It's impossible to do. You're saved through Jesus Christ and faith in Christ alone.
Amen.
But Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."
Amen.
We okay? So what would you think if every Christian just did everything naughty? You would think there's something missing. But the Holy Spirit in us, the Father in us, Jesus Christ in us, they're all accustomed to good works, and they manifest and demonstrate that good works toward others, and that is how we reach people for Jesus. You know, the proud and haughty and cocky and arrogant people who claim to be Christians, and they may be, don't bring a lot of good works to the table where people see what Christ is doing through them. Forgive me. But you and I are different. We're anointed by God. We're called by God. We have God living in us, and God living in us produces something that's beyond anything any natural person can produce, and that's good works. And so we walk out our life doing good and glorifying God. Thank you, Shelley. Will you say it again so these people can hear what to say? Now you heard, say it. And so God working in us produces his character. His character is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, one more and I'm going to let you go. This hit me right between the eyes yesterday. And it's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. And let me quote it for you. I won't. I'm going to read it to you. Because you need to see this. Mark this in your Bible. Please, mark it in your Bible. How many of you ever had somebody you wanted to get even with? How many had somebody you like to hit with your car and tell God you found them that way? One honest person, the rest of you. You just revved up the motor. Look at this. Now let's just think now for a moment. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by getting even.
No.
But overcome evil by good. Wow.
Amen.
Evil is something that harms or injures or hurts you. If you've breathed, you've been hurt. Right?
Yep.
And if you're human, you thought about, what do I do to get even? I know none of you are human. You're super spiritual. I'm the only one that thought that. So, we overcome, and that word overcomes means to conquer. We overcome evil with good. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you're going to pour coals of fire. You're going to make him feel bad if he has anything left to feel bad with. But when somebody injures you or hurts you or harms you, it's natural physical, mental, emotion to do something back. But God says, do something good back. Treat them better than they treat you. Help the person. Be kind to the person. You may not change them, but it's going to change you. We can't change people, and we can't control people, and I don't want to control people. You are free to come and go. You are free to look at me and say, Pastor, next time will you study before you preach? Yeah? And that Saturday I'll go fishing. I'll get you. I'll fix you. But we come to a place where we don't repay how somebody did to us. We repay them with what God would do for them. You see, confrontation is not to get even. Confrontation is to solve a situation and bring about God's answer into that situation. Amen. But when we try to pay somebody back for what they did to us, we start a major confrontation that doesn't end. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so God says, you can't win those things. I'm not in it. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, say the Lord. If you're going to do it, God says, go ahead. I'm out of it. I'd rather have God have my back. I'd rather pray for somebody than curse somebody. I'd rather demonstrate the goodness of God in a bad situation. And I've had the opportunity to do that. But I want you to understand something. Good will always overcome evil, even if it doesn't look like it. Because when you respond in a godly manner to somebody who's trying to tear your heart out, they may not change, but they'll see the attitude of Christ in you. And they'll take notice that you've been with Jesus. God is good. God the Father is good. God the Son is good. The Holy Spirit is good, and you're good. The only difference is that we need to demonstrate the goodness of God as God the Father did to us. You know, for some it's a different mindset. We're not the Hatfield and McCoys. You probably don't, too young to know what that meant. You're not living on the range where across one range and one ranch somebody's shooting at you and you're shooting back. They may be shooting at you, but you're shooting back with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you too. And so the next time you pick me up with 14 walleyes, show me goodness. No, I'm joking. If I ever caught that many, I would need goodness.
I won't believe that.
Folks, the life in Christ is always getting better. Because we learn more and we learn more and we develop more and we grow more and we mature more. Yeah, there's some bumps in the road. I'm not denying that. But if we can respond to what's happening in our life the way God would respond to it, and we have His Word to demonstrate that to us, the bumps, the mud, all the stuff don't seem as bad. As we can carry the goodness of God and present it to people we come in contact with. Amen?
Amen.